take our Bibles again. As we've asked the Holy Spirit to bring us to Christ, He will do that as He shows us Christ in His Word. And so let us turn to John chapter 7 and Ephesians chapters 1 and 5. Not that we will read all of those, but if you can put your fingers in each of those locations, that will help you to follow along in the reading of God's Word. John chapter 7, and then over to Ephesians 1, and then in Ephesians 5. Let us hear the Word of God together as it is read aloud. Beginning with verse 37 of John chapter 7. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then over to Ephesians 1, a time certainly after Jesus had been resurrected and glorified at the right hand of the Father, and we read in Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 13. "In Him," speaking of Jesus, "in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." And then Ephesians 5. And let us begin with verse 15. "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Our Heavenly Father, this is your holy word which has been read. We pray that your Spirit would help us to understand the words that we have heard, the words that we have seen on the page as we've read along. But more than understanding, may we believe them. May our lives be shaped by them, marked by them. May these words that we have read be true of us, even this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I come to the last on a series regarding the Holy Spirit, as Jesus has promised the Holy Spirit to all those who believe. Jesus' words at the great feast of the tabernacles there in John 7. And we have seen that as Jesus gave that great promise to all those who believe, that there is also a gracious promise. There is also a great problem that not everyone senses or feels the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And we've tried to take a few weeks to look at why that may be. And you may remember early on we talked about there some of us may be quenching the Holy Spirit because of our sins. But those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ may be quenching the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we may be guilty of not walking in the Spirit, but rather walking in worldliness. And certainly the Spirit is grieved as we walk in worldliness, and it is no wonder that we may feel a sense of the burdening of the Holy Spirit, rather of the filling and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at perhaps some different reasons, having to do some with our physical nature, as we look at the life of Elijah, going from one moment serving the Lord with power and might and vigor and victory, and yet within a matter of just hours, literally, maybe a day or two, to the depths where he just wishes he would die. We saw that some of what brought Elijah to that sense of not walking with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, feeling a sense of the presence and the power of God through the Spirit, was he was fearful. He had his eyes on Queen Jezebel and her word, her threatening words, but he was also just worn out, physically worn out. Can your physical well-being or not being well can play on you spiritually as well? We saw that in the Scriptures. Being alone and isolated could keep us from having a sense of the power of God. But today I want us to go to this last passage and see that there is yet another reason why some do not experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you have your worship guide and you have your message notes, you have here simply stated from Ephesians 5, verse 18, the reason. Simply stated, some do not experience the power of the Holy Spirit because they do not seek to be filled of the Holy Spirit. They are not looking to be filled by the Holy Spirit. They are not looking to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. They are not looking to be controlled. They are not seeking after such a life. Paul, in verse 18, gives to us a great challenge, for it is a command, but be filled with it's a command with continuing effects, a continuance to it. Every single moment we are to be filled with the Spirit, and I hope to give us some words of encouragement regarding this verse and the idea of being filled with the Spirit this morning. But before we go to the Bible verse, let us hear these words of a brother from the past, Thomas Brooks. He that thinks he has enough of the Holy Spirit will quickly find himself conquered by the evil spirit. Satan has his snares to take you in prosperity and in adversity, in health and in sickness, in strength and in weakness, when you are alone and when you are in company, when you come on to spiritual duties and when you come off from spiritual duties. And if you are not filled with the Spirit, Satan will be too hard and too crafty for you and will easily and frequently take you in his snares and make a prey of you in spite of your souls. Therefore, labor more to have your hearts filled with the Spirit than to have your heads filled with notions, your shops with wares, your chests with silver, or your bags with gold. So shall you escape the snares of this fowler and triumph over all his plots. How do we resist and avoid the snares of the evil one? Then we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what is this word to be filled mean? That would be good for us. I mean, this is sort of an important word for us today, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? How does that happen? Well, to help us with this a little bit, we are told that the word that comes from the word underneath fill means to the same picture of a wind filling a sail and pushing it along. Those of you who have ever done any sailing, you are thankful for that breeze when it finally stirs upon the water and your vessel is moving again. And that wind is the power behind the sail. That sail has been on the mast all day long, but it is doing nothing unless the wind comes and fills that sail and pushes that sail along. This is one of the words that, one of the ideas that is meant behind the word to be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. To be filled, to be moved along, to be empowered. To be filled with the Spirit. It is the idea as well of permeation. Think of a sponge that is so full as you bring it out of the bucket, as you bring it out of the sink, that it's just dripping with water. It is a full sponge. That is the idea of being filled with the Spirit. And lastly, this word that lies in the Greek underneath our word filled in our English translations means to be controlled. The connotation of total control. And so when Paul is saying in verse 18 that we are to be filled with the Spirit, he means that you are to be controlled and moved, saturated with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. And that this is a command for us to be obeyed. Well, I want us to perhaps meditate upon that idea of being filled for a few moments this morning. First, I want us to see that being filled with the Spirit, to begin with, a relationship is required. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, there must first be a relationship already in place. We have looked at this already in the past, but there may be someone new here today who has not heard. And so let me share with you that you cannot have the Holy Spirit unless you first have a walk with Jesus. Unless you first have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. We saw this already in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. There we saw the words of Jesus in verse 38. He who believes in me. Now, let's pause there for just a moment. We had the joy. This seems to be a theme that is coming up in the lives of Summit Grace here lately. It came up in our devotions yesterday in our family and with some others who are staying over the night with us. I know it has come up in the issue of Sunday morning Bible studies here with the children and with the youth. When it says in John chapter 7, he who believes in me, what does that mean? Because the Muslims believe in Jesus, but they'll be going to hell. There are many history professors who believe in Jesus who will be going to hell. There are demons who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they'll be going to hell. We must understand that when Jesus says that he who believes in me is not asking that we merely are able to tick off several facts about Jesus Christ. Surely we are to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Surely we are to know that he was born of a virgin. Surely we are to know that he was born in Bethlehem. Surely we are to know that he did many miracles and had some wonderful teachings. Surely we are to know that he died upon the cross. Surely we are to know that he was at least reported to be resurrected from the grave. But if that is all that is to your believing, your soul is in jeopardy of hellfire. For even the demons believe this. And their final abode will not be in heaven. No, to believe in Jesus, as he says here in verse 38, he who believes in me, believing in Jesus Christ means that I yield my total life to him. That when he says that he is dying for the sins of all those who believe in him, I trust that the only hope of my soul ever to have the home of heaven is not the work of anything that I have done, but only the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I believe and I am putting the full weight of my eternal being upon Jesus Christ. He is my only hope. That is what it means to believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus implies not only that you believe in him for a moment so that sometime, someday in the future you will eventually get to heaven, but I believe in him as my Lord and my Savior, so that when he commands certain things in the Scriptures, then I obey. It is those who believe, who trust, who obey, who yield themselves to Christ, who truly are born again by the Spirit, are given the Holy Spirit to be able to be sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. So now we have this understanding that those who believe in him the Holy Spirit is given to them as rivers of living water. And then turn back over to Ephesians 1. When does this occur? We understand that it occurs the moment that we believe in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Him, in Jesus. After listening to the message of truth, so there's got to be a hearing of who Jesus is and what He has done. It could be a reading. I know that there are those who have read the gospel and become believers, but there's a hearing for the Ephesians that they heard the message of hope of Jesus Christ. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, our souls being rescued from the wrath of God because of what Jesus did on the cross, that is very good news. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him, sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so as we come to Christ and we confess our sins to Him and we confess our needfulness of Him and we confess that He is indeed the Son of God, the one whom is worthy of worship. As we come and we are born again by the Spirit, we are even sealed in Christ with the Spirit. We are sealed in Christ so that everywhere where Christ is, there we shall be also. Even now, says the book of Ephesians later on, we are seated at the right hand of the Father. How is that possible? Because we are sealed with Christ, and Christ is even now at the right hand of the Father. The Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. The Spirit is given to us as a seal of ownership that when that great fateful day comes, when Christ comes to gather all His elect, the Holy Spirit seals us to that day that we may be taken with Him. Oh, the Spirit is given when you believe fully and faithfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing to those who have a relationship with Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit. Keep this in mind when we come back to chapter 5, verse 18. He is talking to those who believe in Jesus. He is talking to those who are living for Jesus. He's talking to those who have been sealed by the Spirit. He is talking to those who have been given the Spirit. And yet, he says in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. So there is some sort of distinction between the sealing of the Spirit that comes upon every single believer and the requirement of every single believer to seek after being filled by the Spirit. And if we live our days simply satisfied that the Spirit's work is done at the moment of conversion, you fail to see what Paul teaches us in Scripture. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a moment-by-moment activity that we are to seek after. So we see that there is a relationship that is required for the filling of the Holy Spirit to take place. We don't seek after the Holy Spirit first. We seek after Christ. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we believe in Christ, as we truly yield our lives up to Christ, to live for Him, to die to self and live for Christ, when we believe that His work on the cross is a great transaction, His righteousness for my sinfulness, and we put the full weight of our souls upon Him for all eternity, the Spirit is given to us because of our relationship with Jesus. I want you to notice, however, a relationship required, but also a source provided. A source provided. Well, where is the Spirit going to come from for me to be filled with? Which is interesting. Which is the question you should ask, because in the Greek, this is a passive verb. Although we are commanded to be filled, something's got to happen from the outside of us for this to be true. So that it is not an activity of futility where we try to build ourselves up in the Spirit and work ourselves up emotionally and we try to fill ourselves, but rather God is willing to fill us, to saturate us, to control us as we are willing to be filled with the Spirit. God is the source and we do not have to fill it up ourselves. we do not have to fill up ourselves. It is interesting that verse 18, Paul uses the imagery of being drunk with wine. Now, this is not a passage against drinking. It is a passage against, or it is a passage for being filled with the Spirit. Please understand the distinction. The issue of do not be drunk on wine is repeated throughout Scripture, but that is not the point of this verse. There are many verses that talk about do not be drunk, but this is not the point of this verse. The point of this verse is rather to use it in contrast to the main point of being filled with the Spirit. Well, now, if I'm going to be drunk with wine, where do I go? And so some of you don't know, and that's not a bad thing. I go to the store. I go to, in North Carolina, they're called ABC stores. I don't know what you call them in South Carolina. The three red dot stores around here. You buy a bottle. In their day, it perhaps came in a jug or a wine bag. There was some source. You went to the wine press and you perhaps bought a keg of some sort. There was some source from which I drink of this material, this substance, long enough, and I will become drunk. Well, in the same fashion, I am to imbibe of the source being God. I am to imbibe of Him long enough that I am filled with and controlled by the Spirit. So how am I filled with the Spirit? I drink on Christ as much as I can stand. This is, I think, overlooked by many. To be drunk with the Spirit, I've got to go to this concert, or I've got to go to this conference, or to be drunk with the Spirit, I need to play this CD for about 3 hours straight until I'm finally feeling in the Spirit. No. To be filled by the Spirit means that you are drinking of Christ. Reading of Him in His Word, praying and communing with Him continually, so that you are filled with the Spirit. You go to the source. God is the source of the Spirit. The Father gives, the Son gives. So concentrate on them and they shall fill you fully with the Spirit. A source provided. You do not have to come to me for the filling of the Spirit. You do not have to go to the bookstore. You do not have to go to the conference. Simply go and drink of Christ. And He will fill you with His Spirit. But there is a choice involved in this verse, isn't there? A choice involved for the believer. For the believer must be reminded that you cannot follow the ways of the world and at the same time expect to be filled with the Spirit. This is the context of Ephesians 5. He's calling them to lives of morality, of purity, of holiness. He gives several examples of the life of worldliness. And one of those examples that he does give is in verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine. In fact, the force of this is stop getting drunk with wine. Now, you must understand that getting drunk with wine was more difficult in the days of Paul than it is today. Because the brewing process had not been so refined as it is now. And so many of the alcoholic beverages that exist today are far stronger than Paul's day. And so the idea that someone would be drunk meant that they had to work at it a little bit. Now, certainly there was some strong drink, but not to the degree it was today. And for someone to be drunk they would have had to have been seeking after it. They had to almost have it as their goal that this should be true of them. And Paul is laying out before us in verse 18, why is it not your goal instead to be filled with the Spirit? To be filled with the Spirit, you may have to say no to some certain things, some certain activities that are more worldly and unwise for you. Do not have it as your goal to be filled with and controlled by this drink. Rather, be filled with and be controlled by the Spirit of God. Not all in here have always said no to drinking, or at least to being drunk. And you know the awful, sad truth. The drinking causes you to do things when you're drunk that you would never do, left to yourself. Just as being drunk influences you, hence our phrase of a DUI, driving under the influence, God wishes something far better for you to be influenced by: His Holy Spirit. Again, there is intentionality. Hear the words of one commentator, Stuart Alliot. Being constantly filled with the Spirit is a matter of constantly drinking. We are to go to Christ and to drink of Him. We do this in prayer, listening to biblical preaching, studying God's Word for ourselves, engaging in Christian fellowship, meeting around the Lord's table, every form of spiritual and devotional exercise. As the Spirit does His work through these means, we become more spiritual people. How does a person get drunk with wine? He drinks and drinks and drinks again until what he has drunk takes control. The same principle applies in the spiritual realm. We must drink spiritual things until we are under the Spirit's influence. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who gives us the Spirit. And this is what He said in John 7. But it doesn't have to be just alcohol, does it? And do not pursue possessions. Do not let your hunger for things control you, but rather be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do not let your worry control you, but rather be controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. Do not let your lust fill and control you, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Though Paul's example is specific here, the principle is rather general. For us as believers, there's only one goal: to be filled with, to be controlled by, to be influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. That is to be the mark of our lives. And we know where to go. We know where to go. It is to the cross. It is to Christ. Now, as we look at this issue of being filled with the Spirit, we realize it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, being counted as one of His children because we have been born again into the kingdom of God by faith. And we realize that this command is, yes, a command, but a good command in the sense that God, He Himself is the source, and He commands us basically to come to Himself, and God will not refuse His children. How will a father who knows how to give such good gifts as even his very son deny us, giving us his Spirit when we ask? Do we exercise the choice, though, to seek after the Spirit, to be filled by Him? Well, now the question is, well, if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, what does that look like, Pastor Ken? And that's a great question. That's an appropriate question. I mean, here's this command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what would that look like for me? And Paul, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, tells us what that will look like in the very next set of verses. And so, what would it look like if the Holy Spirit's presence is manifested? And so this would be the fourth point for us today. A relationship required, a source provided, a choice involved, His presence manifested. What does it look like? Well, it looks like Ephesians 5, 19 through at least 21 for us today. Verses that follow after verses 22 through 6, chapter 6, verse 9 are all a fleshing out of verse 21. But notice that if I am to be filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, by the way, I do want to point this out to you, that, and forgive me for being obvious, but even as my wife will tell you, sometimes I miss obvious things. But is this letter written to one person or to many people? This letter to the Ephesians. It's written to many. In fact, it's written to the whole church. Not just to Timothy, who may be the bishop or the pastor of the church. It's not written to the elders, primarily, so that they are to be only the ones who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The letter is written to the whole church. And in fact, as you study the letter of Ephesians, you realize that this letter was probably circulated amongst many churches. And so it was Paul's expectation that all the hearers in Christian churches should hear this letter and therefore hear the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what would it look like then as individuals in those churches began to pursue being filled by the Holy Spirit? Well, for one, their speech is affected. Look here in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And here right there, I want to go out on a limb and say that I disagree wholeheartedly with about 90% of sermons preached on that verse. Because this is not about worship in the context of a worship singing service. But the kind of music that we should be singing falls into three categories. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I do agree that that should mark our singing. But that's not what this verse is about. Because if Paul meant to sing, he would have used the very same word that he used in the middle of the verse where he says singing. What is the word that he uses at the beginning of verse 19? Speaking. Have you ever noticed that before? So that if I am an individual who is filled with the Spirit, I am speaking to whom? One another, other believers. So that if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the evidences of my being filled with the Holy Spirit is that I am going to be speaking spiritual things to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that may be in the form of a psalm. Literally, of the 150 psalms that we have in our Hebrew Scriptures. I will be speaking Scripture to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And hymns. And spiritual songs. Hymns is another way of saying a doxology. Praises unto God. So that when I'm speaking with you, whether it's a Sunday morning, or a Tuesday night, or a Thursday at a lunch get-together, impromptu, it's somewhere in that conversation. If I am being filled with the Holy Spirit, language of the Spirit is going to come out. Because that which fills the heart overflows out of the mouth. So that if I'm filled with the Spirit, my speech is affected. I want to give a word of encouragement to those of you who sent emails to me during the course of a week. And you just naturally, in the course of your email,
Oh, Pastor, I read this verse this week and just wonderful. This is what it's doing in my life. And then you go on to the rest of the, when's our meeting on such and such and such and such. And you're asking other, you just sort of naturally put it in there. Because the Holy Spirit has used that verse in your life and you're wanting to share that with others. That's the way it should be for us, whether it's an email or a telephone conversation or conversation in the hallway. And so I gingerly ask you again, between 10 o'clock and 10:30, what was your speech filled with? Was some of it, at least, speaking spiritual things to one another? Was there at least some dialogue? Brief? I don't intend for you to feel like unless you're speaking scriptures for 30 minutes straight, that somehow you're not meeting up to this verse, but is there some? Let me share with you what God is doing in my quiet time. Let me show you this verse. What do you think about this verse? I don't know what to make of this verse. Can you help me understand this verse? Is there some of that? Well, there will be some of that if there is a filling of the Holy Spirit. So not only would my individual life being filled with the Holy Spirit be evidenced by my speaking spiritual things, the things of the Spirit, but the corporate nature of this body will be that this body can be called filled with the Spirit if in their corporate conversations when they gather together, it's about spiritual things. Notice here the corporate nature of the corporate evidence of being filled with the Spirit. So that there's almost a warning here. Listen, being filled with the Spirit isn't all about you being all pumped up. You being filled by the Spirit is going to overflow into your interactivity with the members of the congregation that you worship with. It's going to affect my speech. Verse 19, first of all, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So that singing, yes, songs we sing ought to be affected by being filled with the Spirit. But notice that he adds this making melody with your heart. So that even the heart of the individual and the heart of the body is marked by melody of the Spirit. Not disharmony. Not, to use a word, cacophony. Distressed sounds of discord. But as an individual is filled with the Spirit, there is a unity with the Spirit, your heart making melody with the Spirit. And then as other hearts are right with the Lord and right with each other, there is a melodious song that is being sung, even in the hallways. Though there's not a piano playing or guitar being picked, there is a harmonious song of melody, of unity and love towards the Lord and one another, even as we're gathering together for all kinds of functions. Even corporate worship service where there may actually be the playing of the piano and the strumming of a guitar and notes being sung from a page. This is the evidence, or part of the evidence, of being filled with the Spirit. My speech, my singing, my heart in connection with your heart. I mean, it would be a good question for us to ask. I don't have an answer. I don't have a clue to an answer. But I do have a clue we should ask the question, Lord, as you listen to the song of our hearts this morning, what do you hear? That would be a good question for us to ask. It would be a good question for me to ask, oh Lord, as you hear the song of my heart on Monday, what does that sound like? What did the song of my heart sound like yesterday? What does it sound like this very moment? It would be good for us as the body of grace, the elders certainly, but the body of grace, to ask the question, what is the sound, the song of this congregation's heart? Notice that the giving and the filling of the Holy Spirit affects the whole. So speaking and singing and making melody. And then in verse 20, if I am filled with the Spirit, I will what? Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. How is that? Because I begin to see even difficult things as a means by which God may grow me, God may use me in the life of another individual, that God may cause me to see Him better in all His power and all His glory. If I am filled with the Spirit, then the Spirit begins to interpret every situation in my life as a means by which I may glorify the name of Jesus Christ. That means He'll take that opportunity for a pay raise, the Holy Spirit will, and make it an opportunity to give thanks to God for being Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Even in these days where prices keep going up, Lord, You have provided. I praise Your name for that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in me. But it is also the work of the Holy Spirit in me to say, Lord Jesus, though I don't like it, I give You thanks for my cancer. Because it reminds me that I am mortal, and causes me to reflect upon Your mercy to provide a way into You by Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for all things can only be done when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit interprets what we are experiencing in the light of God, who is to be praised at all times for all things. Always giving thanks in parenting situations, because the Holy Spirit fills you and you are reminded that these children who are perhaps frustrating you at the moment were gifts to you by God who chose you to be their parent. Always in all things, even in that car wreck that you just walked away from, because you just walked away from it, and God's providential care brought you through. Well, I know that it's now a piece of heaping metal fitted for the salvage yard. But the Holy Spirit in you reinterprets that moment to see a way to praise the name of God. And then, continuing together, speaking and singing and making melody, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. And then finally, the evidence of the Holy Spirit filling you and filling a congregation. The willingness in verse 21 to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. A willingness to humble oneself before each other. And then He gives several wives to husbands. Church to Christ. Children to parents. Husbands and wives. Fathers to children. In our day, not so much slaves and masters, but employees and employers. So to be said, to say that I am filled with the Spirit, there is a willingness to humble myself and be subject to my brothers and sisters in Christ in all kinds of arenas. This is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to encourage you this morning for you to consider that every gift that God gives you, He gives you fully. Does He give you salvation partway? No, He gives it to you fully. Does He redeem only part of your soul in the act of redemption? In the gift of redemption, He redeems all of you. In the gift of His Son, does He give only His Son partially to you? No, He gives Him fully to you. When it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit, be encouraged. God's desire is to give Him fully to you, that you may be filled with the Spirit. Question for us to ponder maybe the rest of the afternoon is this. Do I choose to be filled with such a gift? Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank You that You are merciful. I thank You that You are a God who desires to shower His children with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Pray Your forgiveness when we refuse certain gifts, when we think that we don't need certain gifts. Forgive us for not seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit as Your Word commands. Even when Your Word promises that You are glad to give. Even when Your Word promises that such a gift will not only benefit myself, but will benefit brothers and sisters in Christ around me. Lord, we each pray this morning. Certainly I pray this morning. Help me not to be influenced by anything of the world, but let me be influenced by the Spirit. Help me cease to be controlled by things of the world. Help me to be controlled by the Spirit. Help me to cease to be moved along by greed or by fear or pride or pleasure. Help me to be moved along by the Spirit of God. Father, we pray for this congregation. May we not only be individuals who are filled with the Spirit, but may this very body as a whole be seen by You as a body filled with the Spirit. Speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, submitting. All for the praise of your name. And Father, I pray, as I should, that if there be any who do not have the Holy Spirit because they do not have Jesus, today, the words of good news have been read. That Jesus Christ will deliver from your righteous wrath all who confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, all who believe in Him. And as many are calling out for the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, we pray also for the beginning work of the Holy Spirit to bring men and women into faith in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.